We'll be taking a break from the series on Matthew for our visitors on Sunday mornings. We're going through the book of Matthew right now. I hope you'll come back. Of course, next Sunday I'll be gone, and actually the Sunday after that is 4th of July, so it probably won't be till the second Sunday in July. We'll actually be back in Matthew. But I certainly hope you'll return. And truly, this book is unlike any other book. There's nothing like it. To see the truths that are here is just tremendous. Just tremendous. Joshua chapter 24. We're going to read verses 14 and 15. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I ask your blessing upon the message today. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. Lord, I pray you would control what I say, how I say it, Lord. I pray your word would be effective, not just to the dads here, but to all of us. Lord, as we look at certain principles from the life of Joshua, Lord, I beg you that you would work. Help me to be clear. Help this to be effective. And Lord, I know that is just impossible apart from your spirit. So, Lord, I pray for that working, just to have your hand and your touch upon this, Lord. Lord, I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard a little girl had asked, what's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day? And she had said, well, not much, except on Father's Day, you don't have to spend as much on a gift. And I thought that's kind of true. Even this morning with Sunday school, I came in. If it was Mother's Day, there's no way I don't open the Sunday school with a Happy Mother's Day. The Father's Day was like an afterthought. Oh, yeah, Happy Father's Day to all of our dads. But really, one of the greatest things, responsibilities that I have enjoyed in life is being a dad. I've absolutely loved it, being a dad. The devil's good at getting you to miss times, really some of the greatest sources of joy in your life. One of those is fatherhood. Your children can be one of your greatest sources of joy while at the same time being one of your greatest sources of concern in your life. Again, fatherhood is one of the greatest things about life and one of the greatest responsibilities that are given, one of the greatest responsibilities given to any man. The statistics of what happens when the father is not in the home are staggering. I'm going to give some of those out right now. This is what happens when kids grow up without a dad in the home. And I would be counted amongst those as far as not having them. My parents separated when I was 6 years old. I have maybe one or two memories in my life of my dad at home, the day I got a big wheel. I still remember that day. He had sent me out. He was home. He just got home from work, and he said he left his briefcase in the car. We had a little tiny Vega. I don't remember those little Vega, little orange Vega. And he sent me out there to get that briefcase. He opened the door. There was no briefcase there, but there was a big wheel in a box. And outside of that, I have to try and piece together any other memories I have of a dad in a home. But here's the statistics of what happens when kids grow up without fathers. 71% of high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 71%. 71% as well of pregnant teenagers comes from a home where there is no dad present. 85% of all children who have some type of, to use the, this is how it was written down, politically correct term, behavior disorder, actually come from homes where there is no dad. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from homes where there is no dad. 90%. 63% of youth suicides are from homes where there is no dad. In the youth prisons, those in prison, 85% of them don't have a dad at home. 85%. This is one of the reasons that these statistics are demonstrating, one of the reasons why the devil wants to destroy the home and wreck your marriage. Wrecking your marriage isn't just about destroying the joy you're to have between a husband and wife relationship. There's a whole lot of other things that are at stake here. There's a whole lot of other, you're going to make the devil's work a whole lot easier if he can get dad or mom out of the home. Both roles are critical. Post-World War II, 90% of the American population grew up with both parents married the entire time. The entire time. That's not true today. And this is just covering the entire time. For instance, I would not be in this statistic because I was still 6 years old when my parents split up. But today, that number has dropped from 90% to 67% of children actually have their both parents their entire time, or do not have their or do have their parents their entire time in childhood, the entire time. If we were to take that and just cut it, who you know loses at 5 years old and 6 years old, that number drops dramatically of who has that. Fathers not only need to be in the home, they need to be involved in shaping the lives of their children. You know, it's kind of like sometimes we use even a false factor for who's right with God. We like to say, well, is he in church or out of church? I mean, I use it all the time, not saying it's wrong, but we use that. Or are they in church or are they out of church? But I assure you, there's a lot of people who are in church that aren't close to the Lord. It's just not that outside facade that makes the difference. All right? But that's true with dads. We need more than just your presence, although that is important, actually. But we need your involvement within the lives of your children. Again, we need, as I was even praying, we need fathers who will rise to the challenge of being a dad. Those who will see their God-given responsibilities that they have to their children. You know, I think Western culture sort of twists what we think our responsibilities are to our kids. And it really produces some things that we think are priorities that our kids need to see, but in reality, it's just vanity. And what I want to do, I'm going to take some principles from the life of Joshua. From how he was as a man. To demonstrate and try to demonstrate to us a great example. And to try and show some principles that we need in our own lives as parents, as dads, to our children. And this just isn't good just for fathers. I mean, these things are good in the Christian life in general. And the verse we read, though, of course, we're at the end of the book of Joshua. They have already went in and began conquering the land. They've never quite finished that job, and they divided it up. And of course, there's still some of those of the influence of others around that really should have been tossed out of the land, but they did not do it. But Joshua lets them know right away. He says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, he says, fine, just choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Get off the fence. If God be God, like Elijah, then serve him. If this is truth, all right, then serve him. And again, and his statement, which is one of the most, you know, famous in the Bible, where he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This isn't a dad who was waiting till Sunday morning to determine if they're going to go to church. This is a dad who had decided we're going to church. This isn't a dad going to see what's just the flow of the culture to find out how we're going to serve God. He has already determined, I'm going to do what's right before my family. So I want to draw out some principles here. Of course, with everything going on this day, time is going before us, but I'm going to try and finish this in 30 minutes. And it's probably a little bit longer than that of a message, but I'll try and cut through some of this. I want to look at several things from Joshua's life to try and be a help to the dads this morning. Turn over to the book of Numbers, chapter 27. Joshua 27, and really this point, the very first point really encompasses the life of Joseph, and I've entitled it, I tried to use all D's for these as best I could. His faith, he demonstrated his faith before his family. He lived it. He lived his faith. And in Numbers chapter 27, I want you to notice here what the Lord's saying about Joshua, or what he chosen him for, I should say, in verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. That's all we're going to read right there for this point. This really encompasses it. This is saying here that when Joshua, of course, is selected to take the place of Moses. Think of that. Think of the man's position he's going to have to step in and fill, Moses. And the Lord goes to Moses. He lets him know, listen, there's a man down there who has the right spirit. There's a man down there that I see. This is the one that you're going to choose. Joshua was not only was a good leader, he was a good follower. All of your good leaders that are right leaders have always been good followers as well. And you see his faithfulness to the Lord. And this is a man, though, that before his family, of course, before his nation as well, but especially before his family, this is a man who lived his faith. It wasn't just noise with him. It just wasn't something you do on Sundays. It just wasn't Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. He lived his faith. When he walked out of the church doors, he was the same man. He had character. He had integrity. I can think of time, and there's times, there's always those different key moments in our life when our children kind of remind us of different things that we have. There's those times that your children remind you of the importance of integrity. You know, you get a phone call, you're just ready to relax the whole evening, and somebody calls up that you don't want to come over. You say, oh, I'm sorry, we are so busy right now, we'll have to get together another time. Then you hang up the phone, and then there's little Johnny, 5 years old. Dad, did you just lie? You know, you have those moments in life that your children teach you. I remember one time Heather about got me beat up here in Anchorage. We get out of the car at Walmart, and I'm holding Heather's hand. She's just a little girl. I mean, we just got here. And a guy walks by his hand, really long hair. And Heather's looking up at him, and I'm not looking at him. He's bigger than I am, big guy. And Heather says, Dad, why does he have lady hair? And, oh, man, shut up, girl. You know what you're talking about. But you have those key moments with your children that they even teach you. But dads, you have to live your faith. It's not just what you say, it's how you live. They're going to learn from what you say, but they're going to learn a whole lot more from how you live. You've got to have the character. You've got to have the integrity. What your children need more than a larger bank account is to see a dad with integrity, with character. Number two, not only did he demonstrate his faith, he was also disciplined. He was obedient to the Lord. Let's go over to back to the book of Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6, starting there in verse 2. This is just a couple of verses of this. We're not going to go over the whole story. I just want to bring something out here. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Now let's stop right there. Joshua, throughout all of his life, I'm just picking a very well-known example from his life. This was a man who constantly was obedient to the Lord. And I chose this one because his obedience came even when he didn't understand. Keep in mind, if we go back in Israel's history, even what's coming, this man is really a general, Joshua. He's a military leader. And here's his game plan from God, this military leader. This is what we're going to do, Joshua. You ready? We're going to march around the city. We're going to march around it one time for 6 days straight on each of those days. And then the 7th day, we're going to do it 7 times. And then we're going to have the priests with the trumpets. We're going to have 7 of them. They're going to blow these trumpets. And then everybody's just going to shout. That's the game plan. He didn't question it, of course. He was obedient. See, many times, let me try and make this application. Many times, especially as our culture is changing, it's getting harder and harder to be obedient to the Lord and not stick out like a sore thumb in our culture, isn't it? And so what's happening now is we are beginning to justify our disobedience because we don't like the shame that comes from following Jesus Christ. We want to say, you know, the Lord really didn't mean that. Listen, Pastor, it's 2,000 years later. Times have changed. Truth doesn't change. If it was right before God 4,000 years ago, it's right today. We have to stop allowing our culture to determine our morality. That's not getting our country very far right now. Joshua was disciplined. He lived it. He was obedient to the Lord, even if he didn't understand what God was commanding for him to do. What will impress your children and be a help in their life are those times in your life when things are falling apart and you don't understand what's going on. And yet remember, the Lord is in control of all things. He is orchestrating what's going on. Perhaps He just wants to take your children that are in your house and see when things are going awry and yet you stay obedient. They see a faithful dad. They see a dad who still trusts in the Lord. They see a dad who just doesn't serve God in the mountaintops, but who also stays faithful to God in the valley. Because it's in the valleys when that character is going to be displayed. It's not on the mountaintop. Everybody can shout and say how good God is on the mountaintop. That's easy. It's in that valley that your character comes out. And that's when your children need to see it most. That's when they're going to be able to say, you know what? This is real before my dad. I mean, God really means something to him. The majority of children, I read it a while ago, this statistic on this, but I couldn't find it again. The majority of children follow the faith of their father. They follow the pattern of his religious life. Man, it's so important, dads, that you're real, that you're obedient, that even in those times that you don't understand what's going on, and yet your children still see, man, dad still did what was right. That'll make a difference in their life. That is so much more important than even paying for their college. Seeing a dad with character. I'm just letting that know now because I'm not paying for my daughters. When you go back to college, I'm not paying. You're on your own. But I got character for you. Anytime you need character, just give me a call. Not only that, look over in Joshua chapter 4. Boy, this one's important. Joshua chapter 4. Look at just a couple of verses here. Start reading in verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God unto the midst of the Jordan, take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? That ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You need to set up some memorials before your family. You need to set up those times just like here. I like how, when, of course, Joshua was commanded of the Lord to do this. And I like, under, of course, the Holy Spirit's direction and inspiration, how Joshua applied it when he was given the instructions to set up a memorial. He said, listen, when the children come under their fathers, what you need to demonstrate before your children the greatness of God. That's why he's not great in your children's eyes, because we elevate everything else above God. They think maybe sports is more important or hunting is more important. That's because that's what dad elevates before them. And you come into church, you have Sunday, and you're ready. It's time for church. All right, let's go to church. And you got all your kids with you. And don't think from the time they're so small that you're just looking at you. And you get there and it's time for church. Stay awake. Yet when Ohio State's playing Michigan, you're wide awake. What is shown great in the life of that 2-year-old? Or it's time for church. Is he preaching? Let's see. Get on my phone. Do you even understand what it is to be a Christian? Do you have a clue? And then you're going to be in my office 15 years later wondering what happened to your children. And I'm supposed to fix it. The battle is won when they're so young. Set up those memorials where your children can see the greatness of God. At those times that God does something great in your life, what is more important? Listen, I think rather it's right at testimony time. You ought to do it. Absolutely, when God does something great. But more important than that is you speak out before your children of the greatness of God in your life. You know the story in New Guinea when I was traveling to get supplies, and that entire wheel fell off my truck. Remember that when we're going down the road, we get to the sealed part of our road on the island. And so I'm doing 50 miles an hour, and the first thing that flew off was my hood. Oop, bam, smack the windshield, can't see, slamming on the brakes, get down there. And so we get the hood down, and this is just me, and so then my children aren't with me right now. And so we fasten that hood down with some rope that we had. We got the hood down. So I get back, we should have prayed, we didn't pray, get back in the car and flying back down the road. And everything's going fine. Then all of a sudden, I remember the car, it almost like it went up in the air a little bit on the path. You drive, the steering wheel's on the other side in that vehicle. And like from the front passenger side, it kind of went up and then it went down and went all the way down. Boom! And I saw sparks and flames. And the vehicle's hard to control. And then I watched my wheel go up. I am not as tall as the coconut trees. Boom! We're just trying to control it because my wheel, entire wheel is gone. And then, you know, and then finally the vehicle comes to a stop, and now we pray, you know, a little late, but now we pray. And we get out, and I haven't been in country yet 6-7 months, and I'm just thinking, what are we going to do? I don't want to, I'm in the middle of nowhere right now. There is no tow truck to call. There is no AAA. Hey, that's a little bit of an issue. I mean, I might not even see a car come by for who knows how long. And I'm thinking, what are we going to do? And we stopped. There was an entrance right here. There was a house from a village that we were in right there, and house right there. And I'm thinking, of course, we just prayed. And the one guy from this side walks over to us, and he saw what happened, and he's all big. And he says to me, he said, do you know where you just stopped? I said, no. He said, this is a tire shop. I didn't stop 1 foot from it. I stopped in the driveway to the tire shop. And we have this mark on the road going all the way down. That's right there. And of course, the people on the island all knew that's the missionary's mark. And the Lord put him at the tire shop. There's only a couple of those on the entire island. But more important, what I looked forward to almost every time we went on a supply run was to see if my kids were looking for that mark. It was a memorial of God's greatness. They need to see those things. What they need to see elevated in your life, Dad, is God. Nothing to compare to that. Nothing. That should be it. They should realize that's what life is all about. Number four. In our text, Joshua 24:15. He had said this in the last few verses there, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This was a man who decided with determination that him and his family were going to serve God. Fellas, you've got to be determined to do this. This just isn't something you just do, you know, and as men, for the most part, we can be very good about doing this, for the most part, as long as you're conscious of it. You have to separate yourself almost from the emotion of the situation and say, listen, this is what we're going to do. You determine. This is it. You don't say, I think we'll try this. You know, maybe we'll get it. You know, you determine, this is what we're going to do. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Determine to be that priest of your home. Determine to be the spiritual leader of your home. Determine the one that you're going to lead this. Determine before God, God, give me wisdom. Let me have insight in the lives of my children from the time they're young, Lord. If they're starting to head off course, if I'm teaching them something I shouldn't by the way that I'm living, God, please help. Determine to be the leader that is needed in your home. It doesn't help your children if they simply see a love for money. It doesn't help your children if they simply see a love for promotion. What helps the Lord? Two great things. You want to help your children? Listen to me. Two great loves they need to see in your life. Number one is God, and number two is mom. Boy, that'll help them. That'll help them. See, the key to happiness in life is not $200,000 a year. It's not even close to that. It is glorifying God with your life. Number five, Numbers chapter 14. I'm not going to tell you how many you have because you might be discouraged. Oh, how many I have for points? Because, yeah, you'll be really discouraged at the 27 points I have. Numbers chapter 14. Read a couple of verses here. Starting in verse 6. Well, this one's important, Dan. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. Now, I didn't want to read everything that was going on from the previous chapter into this. I'll just briefly mention it here. Point of this one is this. He diligently kept his eyes on the Lord and not on circumstances. Remember, this is when they had sent the spies out, Joshua being one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land to spy it out, not to determine if they should enter it. It was just to determine the game plan. Again, Joshua was a general. He liked to plan. He sent him in. Let's see what we're facing. He comes up with a game plan. But, of course, they get back. 10 of the spies are saying, we can't go in. The congregation begins to hear it. The nation begins to hear it. They're distraught. There's giants in the land. What are we going to do? And Joshua speaks up here. Joshua is the one who speaks up and says, listen, we got this. We have the promises of God on our side. Telling him, listen, get your eyes off of the circumstances. They're going to be bread for us. This is nothing. The reason he was able to speak that, the reason why he was able to try and encourage, was because this was a man who had his eyes on God and not on circumstances. He was encouraging the people to trust the Lord. It was a pattern for his life, especially before his family, as we see in Joshua 24:15. He was telling the children of Israel, you know what? We got this. It's all right. Dads, listen to me. Especially during those difficult times, whatever's going on. You know how you encourage your children? You got this. It's all right. God is in control. Let him see that. Let him see that your God is bigger than any circumstance that you're facing. You know, you do that from the time they're little, don't you? When they start walking, you know, I can think of all my, from Daniel, Heather, Ray, Beth, Levi, all of them just starting to walk. I let them know, listen, you got this. You got this. That's your role as a dad. To let them know as they get older. Maybe they're struggling in school. No, you got this. You got this. Even a daughter who's... heading out. That's our jobs as dads. And if your eyes stay on your circumstances and not on God, they're not going to see that. Let me finish with one more. In our text, Joshua 24:15, as he was speaking to the nation, there's a point here I want to draw out about this. I call this his defense. His faith was not based on what anyone else was going to do. His faith was based on what was right. He told them, listen, if you want to serve the God of the Amorites, if you want to head that route, well, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. It wasn't simply cultural for him. He was simply going to serve God and recognize the greatness of God, and that I'm going to serve him and I'm going to have my family follow God with everything that they have. Don't make your family decisions based on what's popular for the moment. Base it on what's right. boy, standards are, everything's changing drastically as we go into a post-Christian culture, and you're seeing the Christians change right along with it. Dads, maintain your family, base it on biblical standards, not even on the culture of the current church. Don't make your family decisions based on what's popular. You know, we always tell our children when they come to us, you know, Dad, can I go to this guy? Can I go to the one? No, of course you can't do that, but Johnny's doing it. Well, if you jumped off a bridge, would you do that? Again, we do the same thing many times. I mean, I can think of different movements over the last, even though I was in New Guinea, I can think we hear with independent different movements that have come through in relation to family that people jump on. Follow the Bible and do what's right. That's what you do. You follow the Bible and you do what's right. Again, you know, and you set those principles down. If all the parents decide to let their kids have smartphones, I'm still not doing it. Not going to happen. If all the parents decide, you know what, my kid can just have free time on the internet. Not going to do it. Not going to do it. The position of a father is so important. Think of those statistics again. Those are staggering. And boy, when you see a family where the dad is involved, wow, what a difference. What a difference. I'm going to close with a poem out of the book that I gave to the dads. There's about three poems in it, I think. I'm going to close with it. The title of it is To Any Daddy. It says, there are little eyes upon you, and they're watching night and day. There are little ears that quickly take in every word you say. There are little hands all eager to do everything you do, and a little boy who's dreaming of the day he'll be just like you. You're the little fella's idol. You're the wisest of the wise. In his little mind about you, no suspicion ever rise. He believes in you devoutly. Hold that all you say and do. He will say and do in your way when he's grown up like you. The wide-eyed little fella who believes you're always right, and his ears are always open, and he watches day and night. You are setting an example every day in all you do for the little fella who's waiting to grow up to be just like you. With every head bowed and every eye closed.